finish eating my candy corn before I start. All right. The hour of 6:30, having come and gone, quorum having been achieved, I will call to order the Common Council meeting of Tuesday, September 24th, 2024, and ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Thank you. Alderman Martinez Rutherford.
The mayor is muted on the CCB Zoom just in case because we can't hear her on here.
Thank you, Alder Conklin.
You're welcome.
Alder Martinez Rutherford reminds us of protocol. Please raise your hand. But thank you for telling me that I'm muted and I am no longer muted. And the clerk is calling the roll.
Thank you. Alder Miyazi. Miyazi is present. Alder Rummel.
Present.
Is present. Alder Tischler. Alder Tischler is present. Alder Verveer.
Here.
Alder Verveer is present. Alder Vitiver. Sorry.
Here.
Alder Vitiver is present. Alder Wahelia is excused. Alder Bennett is excused. Alder Conklin.
Present.
Conklin is present. Alder Curry.
Here.
Curry is present. Alder Duncan.
Present.
Duncan is present. Alder Evers.
Here.
Evers is present. Alder Field.
Here.
Field is present. Alder Figueroa Cole.
Here.
Alder Figueroa Cole is present. Alder Govindarajan. Alder Govindarajan is present. Alder Yair.
Here.
Alder Yair is present. Alder Harrington McKinney.
Present.
Alder Harrington McKinney is present. Alder Knox.
Present.
Alder Knox is present. Alder Latimer Burris.
Wait,
All right, and Alder Madison should join us shortly. Otherwise, Madam Mayor, we have a quorum.
Thank you. I will note that we are close to quorum, so would appreciate folks in the room, maybe count noses before you leave, and also on the Zoom, if you're able to keep your camera on so that we know that you're there, that would be helpful. Thank you. Also, just per usual, I remind us that we're here to do the business of the residents of the city of Madison. I'd ask that we do that with kindness and grace, and that we refrain from using profanities in our remarks, regardless of our role in the meeting tonight. Our first two items are honoring resolutions. We will start with item one, which is Legistar 85234, proclaiming September 30th, 2024 through October 6th, 2024 as the week without driving in Madison. For this item, I will turn to Alder Vitiver.
Move to introduce, or?
You can just go ahead.
Whereas Week Without Driving is a nationwide initiative that aims to raise awareness and promote understanding about the challenges faced by individuals who do not have reliable transportation, highlighting the impact of limited transportation on people's everyday lives. And whereas Week Without Driving encourages both individuals and decision makers to go a week without driving. And whereas this year, Week Without Driving takes place from September 30th through October 6th, 2024. And whereas, according to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, the city of Madison's non-driving population is estimated to be greater than 40% of the total population. And whereas people do not drive for a variety of reasons, whether it be due to age, financial circumstances, physical or intellectual disability, a preference to minimize their environmental impact, alleviate traffic congestion, or prioritize the safety of pedestrians and bicyclists. And whereas it is costly to own a car, with the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics estimating that on average, it costs over $1,000 per month to own a car. As of 2023, making it unaffordable for many Madison residents. And whereas having a variety of transportation options is crucial so that both people and businesses can have a transportation mode that works best for them when considering convenience, time, health, safety, cost, and other factors. And whereas options such as walking, rolling, biking, and public transportation help communities thrive socially and economically, ease traffic congestion, benefit health, and promote a cleaner environment. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Madison Common Council proclaims September 30th through October 6th as the Week Without Driving in Madison. Be it finally resolved that the Madison Common Council encourages all elected officials, staff members, and Madison drivers to take part in the Week Without Driving.
Thank you, Alder. We'll take that as moved by Alder Vitiver and seconded by Council President Figueroa Cole. And we do have with us tonight Alex Andros, who's the director of the Madison Area MPO. To receive.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. For those who haven't met me already, my name is Alexander Andros. I am the director of the Greater Madison MPO. or I could just say the new bill. You might remember Bill Schaefer, who came before me. So those who aren't familiar with the MPO, we're a regional transportation planning agency. And a really great thing about us is that we bring in millions of dollars in federal funding for transportation projects in the greater Madison region. So we're a little unique in geography and funding, so that includes not just the city of Madison, but our neighboring communities such as Middleton and Sun Prairie, for example. So I want to thank you, Council and Mayor, for supporting this Week Without Driving. This initiative, I think, really does a great job shining a light on important reality in our community, and I think it's contained right in the resolution itself. With over 13,000 households in Dane County don't have access to a personal vehicle. So for many, walking, biking, or taking the bus isn't just a choice, it's a necessity. And that's a big theme that we work on, you know, the city as well as the region when we do our transportation planning and really all our planning. So the goal of this week is to raise awareness about transportation equity and to work toward a system that truly serves everyone. So for those who have the privilege of driving, like myself, I like cars. My car's okay, but I really also like my bike and I like my feet and I like the great transportation system that the city's built, and I'd like to see that expanded throughout the region. But I encourage you to participate in this challenge and experience firsthand the challenges of not having those choices, not having those privileges like I do. And just something to think about, but that I think about very much, is right now I can drive and do all of these things I enjoy. But that may not always be the case. So we need to think more broadly about our community in that way as well. So to the mayor and the council here today, thank you so much again for supporting this effort and to continue this great investment in our transportation network.
Thank you, Ox. We have a parchment for you.
Yes. This will be our second one. Thank you.
All right. And also with us tonight wishing to speak is Robbie Weber, representing Madison Bikes.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council. Madison Bikes is a co-sponsor of the Week Without Driving, but I really just wanted to say a little bit about the challenge. It's very easy to say, oh gosh, you know, I can't do a week without driving because I live somewhere where it's really hard, or I have a lot of errands, or it's really far, or something like that. But what I want to highlight here is that even if you do drive during the week, the idea is to contemplate, what does this mean for me, for my privilege to own a car and to be able to physically drive a car, because a lot of people can't. So when you make a trip, if you decide you need to make a trip by car, think about what that would mean for someone who can't drive. They either don't own a car because they can't afford to, they can't physically drive a car, they're too old, they're too young, maybe they're temporarily disabled because they broke their leg, or I broke my shoulder and I couldn't drive, couldn't put a seatbelt on. So think about, how would you make that trip if you were not able to drive? How would you live your life if you were not able to drive? What would that mean for your access to daily activities and opportunities? So this is the idea of a week without driving. And I think we also, as policymakers, have to think, what do our decisions mean for people who may not be able to drive? So that's the general idea. It's not to make you, you know, angst if you do get in a car, but to contemplate what it means to be able to drive and contemplate what it means to not be able to drive or to not have access to a car. So thank you for your support, and I hope you will take the challenge. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we record a unanimous vote in favor. That takes us to item 2, which is Legistar 85302, recognizing September 15th, 2024 through October 15th, 2024 as Hispanic Heritage Month. President Figueroa Cole.
Thank you, Mayor. So I don't have a person and present to receive this, and I'm not going to read the entire resolution, but I encourage you all to do that. We made some changes and incorporated a lot of new teams in it. But I do want to call the attention of a community member that is going through a little bit of a struggle at this time. So just going to read a little bit here from some notes that I found online. I don't know if any of you know Lucia Nunez. So I personally don't know Lucia Nunez. I haven't interacted with her, but everyone that I've spoken with about her has described her as a passionate and dedicated to the Madison community, someone very much admired and loved. Lucia Nunez is currently experiencing health issues, and the community she has supported is now supporting her and her family through this difficult time. I feel it is appropriate to elevate her work at this moment and to take the opportunity to ask you, the body, to keep her and her loved ones in your thoughts. I found on the Wisconsin History Society page a big blog about her, so I'm just going to read a little bit from it. So in case you don't know Lucia, you get to know about her a little bit. So Lucia Nunez is a Cuban-American educator, community activist, lesbian, and change maker who has lived in Madison since 1999. Her educational experiences were foundational in the work she has done and continues to do in her communities, from Honduras to California to Wisconsin. Nunez joined the Peace Corps in 1985, where she met her partner, Heidi Vargas. They were assigned to work in Honduras during an extremely volatile period. Both worked with the Federación Hondureña de Mujeres Campesinas, a women's village cooperative with a mission to establish schools. In the 1990s, Nunez worked with teachers at Stanford University in California to help immigrant children and youth succeed in the classroom. Nunez moved to Wisconsin in 1999 after accepting the position of executive director of Centro Hispano of Dane County. She worked to help school systems create more equitable classrooms in response to the tremendous growth of the Latino community in Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest during the time. She worked as the administrator of the Equal Rights Division for the state of Wisconsin, and in 2006 became the first director of the Department of Civil Rights of the city of Madison. So again, I personally do not know Lucia, but the past few days her name keeps on popping up in different spaces, and I'm sure some of you do know her, and I just want to let you know that it's a difficult time going on right now, and she's one of those members of the community, especially in the Latina community, that is really loved and admired. Thank you.
Thank you, President Figueroa Cole. I think a motion to adopt this resolution in honor of Lucia Nunez would be in order. So moved by the president and seconded by the vice president. A point of personal privilege, I do know Lucia. She was a dedicated city employee for many years. As the alder mentioned, the first director of the Department of Civil Rights, really foundational to that department, her leadership. And she's done amazing things in our community. And I hope that all of us here tonight and any who are listening can take a moment to send some good energy to her and her family. And I think it's very appropriate for us to honor her Hispanic heritage by adopting this resolution in her name. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor of the honoring resolution? Seeing no objection, we'll record that vote on item 2. And that will take us to item 3, which is Legistar 85263, performance and activity update from Destination Madison. And here with us, we have Ellie Westman Chin. Ellie?
Hello. And thank you. Is there a place I can see the slides?
Yes, they will come up on
over here,
here in just a minute.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Okay, great. Well, good evening, and thank you so much for
inviting me to come in and give you an update on Destination Madison. I also want to share that recently we finished a resident sentiment survey. So we've threaded in some of the comments from the survey throughout the presentation. Slide. Thank you. As a refresher, Destination Madison exists to create economic impact by driving visitors to our local community and to our businesses. Slide. We are governed by our 29-member board of directors, presently chaired by Jane Clark with HR, Lake Effect HR, and with representative by Common Council of Bill Tischler. A report to the executive committee, which reports to the board of directors. And in addition, we have the Destination Madison Foundation, a governance committee, and a finance and audit committee. Slide. Here's a snapshot of the board members. We are intentional to ensure we have a cross-section of the community serving on our board, including representation from the travel and lodging industry, corporate and community organizations. Slide. Thank you. One of Destination Madison's funding sources is hotel room tax. And as you can see on this slide here, it's a little bit of a eye chart, I think, but basically there is a room tax that is levied by the municipality in Madison that is 10% per hotel room. That 10% is paid by the visitor, it's collected by the hotel, and it is submitted to Madison, to the city of Madison. 30% is retained by the city of Madison for the general fund. That is per the state statute. The remaining 70% must be spent on tourism promotion and development. In Madison, that 70% is directed by the Room Tax Commission, which has 6 members appointed by the mayor. Also on the Room Tax Commission is Alder Vivere and Alder Figueroa-Cole. I do not serve on the Room Tax Commission, but I do attend the meetings and listen in to everything that's being discussed. Additional funding for Destination Madison comes from partner dues, program revenue, community and municipality partners, grant revenues, and sponsorships. Slide, please. Here's a list of our objectives. We promote Madison to new and repeat visitors. We attract new and repeat conventions, sports championships, and events. Provide expert service to our visitors when they're in our city. Connect and strengthen the community through meaningful partnerships, advocacy, and placemaking. Conduct and analyze tourism research and grow our local economy. Next. So we're going to dive into group business. This is conventions, sports, and events. Next. This year to date, we have booked almost 90,000 room nights for future years. Slide. And 67 conventions and sporting events for future years with an economic impact of nearly $45 million. Slide. That $45 million economic impact includes a diverse list of group business, which includes first-time sports and conventions. Here's a sample, very small sample on the screen of what we booked this year. But along with our repeat business like Ironman and Epic, UGM and XGM, and World Dairy Expo. Slide. We know that when we invite meeting and sports planners to Madison and we show them Monona Terrace and we show them our other venues and we show them around the city, we are going to book them 9 times out of 10. We invite planners to Madison throughout the year, but this last July we had a familiarization tour, which is called a FAM tour, and we had 14 planners join us. We have already received RFPs from that trip, so that was a very successful trip for us. Slide. For every dollar we invested in group sales, we had a $24 visitor spend back in our community. Slide. But let's hear from our residents. 68% of our residents say we should develop and host more major events to attract tourists to our areas. Slide. Now on the leisure side of our business, slide, that was a quick one. As you all are aware, we brought Bravo's Top Chef to our city. The media coverage of the Top Chef Madison episodes resulted in a reach of 6.6 million, and the shows had 2.1 million viewers on Bravo and millions more on the streaming services. Slide. We jumped on an opportunity to do a week-long Madison highlight on Good Morning Washington. This was really important to us because Washington, D.C. is not only a really great way to attract leisure travelers, but it is a mecca of association business, so to also reach those planners that we are trying to reach day in and day out. We saw incredible results in that 1 week. We had 200,000 social impressions with over 4,000 clicks to learn more about Madison. Slide. And from mid-August through mid-October, we are running a campaign in Chicago. Chicago is consistently one of our top 2 markets for leisure. but Chicago is another association hotbed, so we also know we are reaching those planners when we're in that city. Slide. And while we continue to market to our 400-mile drive radius, this year we have expanded our advertising from 2 to 6 direct flight markets. This includes paid ad on streaming services and social media platforms in those markets. Slide. The results to date is that our website is well on its way to exceed our goal of 4.2 million with over 3 million visits to date. Slide. And our social posts have been seen 27.1 million times on a goal of 42.4 million. Slide. For every dollar we've invested in leisure marketing, we've drove $22 in spend back into our community. And from our slide. And from our resident sentiment survey, 2/3 of residents feel they are ambassadors for the Madison area, even among those tourists that they don't know. Slide. These results were driven by Destination Madison's sales and marketing efforts. Slide. So I mentioned that our primary goal is to drive tourism impact. But our secondary goal is to support our local businesses. We want them to be successful. We need them to be successful to drive more tourists to Madison. Slide. We presently have 893 partners, of which approximately 60% are defined as small businesses. And along with marketing and promotion of those businesses, we also provide educational programming and training opportunities to enhance that visitor experience and to ensure we are inclusive and welcoming city. Slide. Madison residents believe tourism improves their quality of life, including dining, recreation, shopping, preservation of local culture. Slide. Just going to be quick. Another slide. So the results, tourism employed in 2023, tourism employed almost 19,000 Madison area residents. Slide. Direct visitor spending was $1.5 billion. That generated $171 million in local and state taxes. Slide. And last year, room tax collections generated $710 per household in equivalent public services, funding things such as street repairs and adding firefighter position. That was a 13.6% increase over 2022. Slide. And I just want to talk really quickly about the foundation. This is a way for us to give back to our community. The foundation is funded through the Ironman Foundation and through community giving. Slide. Here are a few of the organizations that have been granted money just this year, and this is just a small list. Slide. There we go. 73% of residents agreed that our local area benefits from a strong tourism industry. Slide. So we are halfway through our 3-year strategic plan. Slide. And as you can see, we have truly aggressive goals to ensure Madison continues to see an increased impact from tourism. Slide. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for giving me a few minutes to bring you up to speed on Destination Madison. And thank you for your support and participation to continue to create a bigger impact through tourism in our community.
Thank you, Ellie. Are there questions for Destination Madison? Seeing none. Oh, Alder Miyadze.
I'm just saying, thank you, Mayor. I'm just trying to see.
Alder, would you speak into the mic, please?
Sure. I'm just trying to see what Alders can do to help out as far as with, you know, getting more people to our city. What can we do to help?
Yeah, so one of the things that I usually say at the end of my presentation, so thank you for that question because you set me up perfectly, is we know when we are bidding on group business that if we can bring a local with us, we are more likely to win that business. So we're bidding on a piece of business right now. There's a local who is very engaged in that industry, and they are coming with us to say, hey, we should host this here. So that support is invaluable because almost always we will win the business with that local support. I also ask you to invite all your friends and family to come in and experience Madison and everything that we have to offer throughout the year. We do year-round advertising to get people here in the wintertime and experience our great winters, and in the summertime to experience weather like we are having right now. And then if you could be ambassadors for us, because a lot of people in the city, you know, and as much as we try to get out and do presentations everywhere that will invite us to do them, we can't be everywhere. And so for you all to be out saying, no, tourism's a good thing, and here's the reasons why. We know from our research that if you look at dining and retail, without that visitor, they have a harder time of making those ends meet. So these places are successful because of us as residents going there, but also that visitor going to there. So it really does support our local businesses and that economic impact.
Okay, and one last question. There was a Lakeview, I believe it, Lakeview Elementary School, which is in my district, that I guess you guys helped out. Can you explain just in what way did Destination Madison help out?
Yeah, so what Alder Miazzi is talking about is our youth grants. So twice a year, we open up our youth grants. We usually do it in the spring and the fall, so we kind of hit all the seasons and all the different sports. And anybody can apply. But our goal is with that youth grant is to help and support underrepresented sports organizations in our community. And that's what Ironman wants us to do with that funding that they're giving us. So we've worked with together and we're like, please get this out to your community. So when we send that out, please send that to anybody in your community that might need different things. So we've done everything from buy football helmets for groups because they didn't have helmets and they couldn't play, to a dance group. You know, so it really just kind of runs. I have to get you specific information about what we did with that group that's in your district. But if you can help us spread that word, because we really want to make sure that we're hitting all those underrepresented youth sports organizations in our city.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Rummel.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks, Ellie, for coming every year and for your predecessors who have done that as well. You know, we're facing a tough budget season, and I'm wondering if you gave projections for next year in your presentation. Maybe I missed it, but what's your general 30,000 foot look for, you know, compared to this year to next year kind of look?
Yeah, great question. And we've been talking about this at the Room Tax Commission meetings as well. Right now, from a tourism perspective, we're looking at a flat year next year. And part of the reason of that, there's two reasons that we're seeing in our research. One is, we knew leisure travelers were going to go out and travel like crazy after COVID because, one, they hadn't traveled, and two, they had money that they hadn't spent, and they were ready to get on the road. And they came and saw us, which was great. We're seeing that plateau a little bit from the leisure side. From the group side, we book business 4, 6, 8 years out. So we're booking business right now. Like, we just booked a piece of business for 2030 in 2024. So if you think about 2025, we would have been booking that business in 20 and 2021, and planners weren't booking business then. They were just trying to keep their head above water. The other thing planners did is that if they were in a city in 2020, so let's say one of our groups that were supposed to be in Madison in 2020 and they couldn't meet, well, they put us in 2022 because they wanted to be fair to our city, which pushed back the rotation in all those cities. So now things are just now coming up to bid for 26 that we hadn't seen because of this pushback. So right now we're looking at a flat year going into 2025 from our perspective.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Knox.
Yeah, thank you for presenting. I just wanted to tell you how much we appreciate what your organization does. I did want to say, I've been participated in many conversations with you about how to enhance get more residents and business to Madison, particularly in sports. And I really appreciate that. And I'd like to ditto what Alder Miazzi was pointing out, because you're one of the few organizations, believe it or not, that supports youth sports organizations in this city. I really would love for other organizations to do that. It's very few, but with the support of organizations like yours, a lot of our programs would not be able to provide recreational activities for you. So you know how much I appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. If no other Alders in the queue. So thank you very much, Ellie. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. So that will take us then to disclosures and recusals. Are there any disclosures or recusals on tonight's agenda? Alder Fields.
Thank you, Mayor. On item 35, I'm a UW-Madison employee, and I just wanted to disclose that, and it will not affect my vote.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Tischler.
Yes, I'm also a UW-Madison employee, and This will not affect my vote.
Thank you, Alder. Are there any additional disclosures or recusals on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, then we'll move on to the presentation of the consent agenda. President Figueroa Cole.
A consent agenda is moved with the recommended action listed for each item on the agenda, including public hearings, except one, items which have registrants wishing to speak, two, items which others have separated out for discussion or debate purposes. This document lists supermajority items, agenda items with recommendations different from the agenda, items for exclusion, items introduced from the floor, and agenda items with corrections. Agenda items that are supermajority items. Legistar 84983, amending the 2024 adopted Mayor's Office Sustainability Improvements Capital Project Capital Budget to accept $40,000 grant award from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, authorizing the mayors and city clerk to execute the associated grant agreement with the U.S. EPA, and authorizing the mayor and city clerk to enter into a non-competitive contract with Renew Wisconsin for Clean School Bus Coalition Project. 15 votes required. Legistar 85074, amending the 2024 capital budget for the Planning Division Municipal Art Fund to accept $40,000 from the Madison Public Market Foundation and $50,000 from the Friends of the Madison Arts Commission to help fund public art at the Madison Public Market and to approve and accept 10 artworks for installation at the Madison Public Market, including authorizing the Planning Division Director to sign contracts related to those projects. 15 votes required. Agenda items with recommendations different from the agenda. Legistar A439, accepting the 2024 Agency Annual Surveillance Technology Reports for the 2023 calendar year. Recommendation on the Common Council Executive Committee was to adopt. Agenda item, Legislator item 85140, authorizing the City of Madison to apply to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for a ready-to-reuse brownfields cleanup zero-interest loan in the amount not to exceed $1,027,300 for the purpose of assisting in the remediation of contaminated soil at Huxley Yards at 2007 Roth Streets. The report from finance is to return to lead with recommendation to approval. Agenda items excluded by one, request of elders, or two, speakers registered by noon on September 24. Legistar item A4571, the second substitute, amending section 37.093E1 of the Madison City General Ordinances to establish soil infiltration design standards, was pulled by Alder Tischler. There's no items to introduce from the floor, and there's no other corrections.
Thank you, Alder. Are there any additional items that Alders would like to have excluded from the consent agenda? Alder Latimer-Burse?
Oh, yes, Mayor, thank you. And I'm not sure if this is coming, but 85350, the $100,000 mailing for the referendum, the tax referendum.
That's not being introduced, Alder.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it was late, so I didn't get to see that. Thank you.
You, Alder. Are there any other exclusions from the consent agenda? Seeing none, then let me go through that one more time. On items 28 and 35, 15 votes are required. On item 23, the recommendation is to adopt, and item 38, the recommendation is for approval. We are excluding item 13, and there is nothing additional. President Figueroa, call a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, that vote will be recorded. And then we have no public comment. Alder Harrington McKinney.
Oh, this is a question, Madam Mayor, for an item for introduction. Is this the time that an additional referral is appropriate? Or
you just missed it. but any items that are on for introduction will should be available for additional referrals in the future. What item were you interested in, Alder?
Okay. 61-85327. I'd like to add the Department of Civil Rights.
Although we can't refer items to a department. So that would not be in order. All right, thank you, Alder. All right, so the consent agenda being adopted, we have no registrants wishing to speak. And so that will take us to item 13. Item 13 is the second substitute, Legistar 84571, the second substitute, amending sections of the Madison General Ordinances to establish soil infiltration design standards. On item 13, President Figueroa Cole, a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Moved and seconded to adopt item 13. Are there questions for staff on item 13? Seeing none, is there discussion on item 13? Alder Huguere.
I'll just mention two things with regard to this amendment, which I've been involved in drafting. First, remind this body that it was involved in the circumstances that gave rise to considering this kind of amendment. You will recall that it was not that many weeks ago that we managed and worked through an appeal by certain parties with regard to potentially overturning the Plan Commission with regard to an approval of a conditional use permit for the Stonehouse development project on Old Sauk Road. And some members here did express their concern about the possibility that our stormwater ordinance as it existed might not provide adequate protection for the consequences of infiltration as it might affect the property of immediate neighbors of such an infill development. That's the source of this. While in discussions with staff after the appeal failed, we nevertheless wanted to explore what we might do to protect those immediate neighbors who, in fact, later brought suit against this project. But whether that's resolved or whether there's some other development to that property, it remained a problematic property, a type of property that probably exists elsewhere. And it made us realize that perhaps the spirit of the current ordinance would be adequate to justify taking issue with certain types of infiltration systems, the purpose of which is to push the water from a storm into the soil and down to the aquifer as opposed to running off to our lakes and rivers. That intent of the original ordinance may be adequate, but we thought, given the sequence of events and a series of revisions to the stormwater management plan proposed by the developer, that it would be well worth our while to look at making an amendment to the ordinance, which does a fine job in managing runoff, but could be more thorough in providing guidance to developers on how to properly design infiltration systems, which occasionally pose a risk. And that's what gave rise to this. The other thing I will just say is that in case you were confused, as several people have been, including myself briefly, there were three versions, the initial version, and then a first substitute and a second substitute. And the reason that happened, it was a second substitute that was approved by the Board of Public Works, is that, and I know Greg Fries from Stormwater Engineering is gladly takes this totally on his shoulders, but I participated in being totally tunnel visioned about fixing and making an amendment to this ordinance that would deal with infill development, and we didn't appreciate initially that it would have some unintended and adverse consequences for how it would affect large-scale open field developments, new developments on virgin property as opposed to infill and redevelopments. And so we went, we dealt with a number of criticisms and ultimately managed to have several meetings with most of the well-respected stormwater engineering firms in Dane County and work through how to make it better so that we didn't have these adverse consequences. And in fact, I think Greg would say that we actually gave some initial additional tools for these larger scale developments that would hopefully allow them to consider infiltration systems that at less cost might produce a better result. At a minimum, this affects the kind of circumstances we ran into in that controversial development in District 19. I think it's well to point out that even though it does not take effect until next year, that the developer in that case has already indicated that they will meet the requirements of the new ordinance, thus vastly decreasing the risk of property damage to those several immediate neighbors. And if that doesn't go forward for whatever reason because of the litigation, then it certainly will still apply to this problematic property as it might control what future developers would do if that happens. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Tischler?
Yes, and I pulled this from the consent agenda for two reasons. One, I wanted to hear what John had to say, and also I wanted to call attention this late this morning. The version that we see before us was not accessible. At least it wasn't accessible to me. A couple other people couldn't get access to it. So that's why I pulled the pulled it, just because there was some inconsistencies. Now that I see that, you know, once I saw that version three, it's a second substitute was available, you know, I have no issues with this, and appreciate the time and effort that was put in to get to this, to bring this to, before us. So, thank you.
Thank you. I have no other alders in the queue wishing to speak. So, item 13 has been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item 13. And then, unless there are any additional introductions from the floor or announcements, Alder Martinez Rutherford, it's your turn.
I'm pregnant. What's that? I move adjournment.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we are adjourned.